Our text is a couple of verses from chapter 13 from our gospel today. Here they are. The kingdom of heaven is like treasure hidden in a field, which a man found and covered up. Then in his joy, he goes and sells all that he has and buys that field. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like a merchant in search of fine pearls, who on finding one pearl of great value, went and sold all that he had and bought it. Have you understood these things? They said to him, yes. And he said to them, therefore, every scribe who has been trained for the kingdom of heaven is like the master of a house who brings out his treasure, what is new and what is old. So our text for today. This 13th chapter of St. Matthew that we've been hearing now, this is the third week we've had excerpts from that chapter as our gospel reading for the day. It's just loaded with parables about the nature of the kingdom of heaven that Jesus came to reveal to you and to me and to all who call Jesus Christ their Lord. It's a story about, there's a thief in there, there's a merchant, there's a fishnet, there all kinds of common everyday stuff. No kings, no princes, no military generals, stuff like that. Just ordinary, a jeweler, a baker, a farmer, actually he's a day worker, stuff like that. And maybe the disciples, maybe even the crowd, felt that Jesus really was short-cutting them in terms of what they expected to hear about the kingdom of heaven. Usually, people talked about the coming Messiah as the King, the Lord, the King of Kings, things like that, not bakers and fishermen and farmers. The stories that Jesus tells are down to earth. It's not hard to understand them. Common stories about ordinary people, the tenant farmer, the fisherman, folks like that. Matthew tells us that the first thing that Jesus does when he comes out of the wilderness and his prayer time in that wilderness in preparation for his three-year ministry is that he says, I am going to proclaim the kingdom of heaven that has come near in me. And he demonstrates that nearness every time he heals someone, he reaches out to an outcast, he shows respect for women as human beings, as fellow humanity, or when he cares for the poor or the ill and restores them to their health and demonstrates that he is indeed the Savior, the promised King. For Jesus, God is not the head of some visionary kingdom, but rather he's here with us in the nearest vacant lot, in the draft of fishes that fishermen take in the sea, and the lame laying on their mat on the side of the road. He is there for you and for me. And that's why Martin Luther, in explaining the meaning of the second petition of the Lord's Prayer, puts it like this. The kingdom of God certainly comes by itself, without our prayer. But we pray in this petition that it may come to us also. And then Luther goes on and asks, so how does this kingdom of God come? And the answer is, when our Heavenly Father gives us his Holy Spirit so that we can believe his word and lead a godly life in the here and in the hereafter. So what can we learn from at least these two parables of the treasure and the pearl for our own life, for our own walking with Jesus today? The kingdom of heaven is like this. A man happens to find a treasure hidden in a field. He covers it up again and is so happy that he goes and sells everything he has, and then he goes back and buys the field. And the kingdom of heaven is like this. A man is looking for a fine pearl, and when he finds one that's unusually fine, he goes and sells everything he has, and he buys that pearl. Here are two men from two different social strata in the day that Jesus was living. A man finds the treasure in the field after he's been plowing for day after day, weeding the field perhaps, picking up a few weeds along the way, loosening the soil a little bit where it's gotten exceptionally dry, and pulling the plow back and forth, day in, day out. And then one day when he's plowing, his plow hits something hard, and he scrabbles to get the dirt away, and he finds out that it's a treasure pot. It wasn't a treasure chest. They probably didn't make too many chests in those days, but they did have plenty of pots that they could spare one to bury some fortune in. Now, there were no safe deposit boxes or banks in Jesus' day, so people would bury their most cherished belongings in pots in fields, especially when they knew that their country, their land was going to be attacked. And that happened very frequently in Jesus' time. But what might happen is that as the people who buried the treasure had to leave and flee and become refugees in other countries, the enemy might not find the treasure, but no one else might find it either, especially if the refugees never got to return back to their own country. People would quickly bury that stuff, and then many never came back to recover their property. Well, when this fellow found the treasure that was buried there, he dug it up and he shared the good news with everyone around him. He wasn't doing anything underhanded, by the way. The Jews had a finder's keeper rule. And what Jesus is emphasizing here is the extraordinary and the overwhelming discovery that this man made, in which he simply gives up everything he has to buy that piece of property and get that treasure that's buried there. He wants nothing else than to own that treasure. The hired hand did what anyone else might do in the audience that heard Jesus tell this story the first time. And Jesus is saying to you and to me, how are you dealing with the treasure that you find in the fields that you work, that you cultivate? And then Jesus goes on and tells another story from a very different social economic level of the day. He's not a farm worker. He's a man of prestige. He's a businessman. He's a respected man of the community. Pearls in Jesus' day were more precious than gold and silver. So this jeweler merchant sells all that he has, and he buys that beautiful, exquisite pearl. Both men have only one thing in their mind: to reach that goal, to obtain the valuable items that they're after. Now, Jesus isn't giving us lessons on how to find priceless pearls. He's talking about the kingdom of heaven. He has something to say about the change that came into the life of those two men, the farmhand and the jeweler, after finding something that was priceless. Jesus is talking to you and me today. We are like this farmhand, like this merchant. And maybe you've been struggling for months, maybe years, laying down straight and narrow rows like the farmhand. And all you see before you is more furrows. And you ask yourself, is there more to life than this? And the answer of the parable is yes. There is more. There is priceless treasure. Jesus, the priceless treasure, the invaluable treasure. He is the treasure waiting to be found. He is the gift from God. It's the priceless treasure of Jesus, the Savior. The treasury is the death and the resurrection of Jesus on Easter Sunday. Through no merit, and through no work, through no worthiness on our part, both of those men in our parables are suddenly millionaires several times over. Jesus died in our place, no merit or worthiness on our part. The eternal life that he gives to you and me is the most valuable treasure that we could ever obtain. It's a gift of God's grace. We use that word grace so often in church talk. Grace is God's unearned love that comes to us simply because God says, I love you. Not because of something we have done. These parables tell us that the gift of the gospel also calls for a little bit of sacrifice. The common thread that runs through these parables is the response of the two men. They sacrificed everything they had and let nothing stand in the way of obtaining what they thought was the most important treasure for them. Jesus spoke about sacrifice a lot. Anyone who doesn't take up his cross and follow me is not worthy of me, he says. Remember, that cross calls for commitment from Jesus. And so there's an element of giving up something important in those two parables. In Jesus' parables, the man who found the treasure, the merchant who discovered the pearl, gave up everything to gain what God had put there before. We are challenged this morning to take a good and careful look at ourselves and discover what is preventing us from accepting the treasures that God gives to us through his Son, from committing our whole life to Jesus. What's preventing us from committing to do his work here in this place, in this congregation? What's preventing us from our commitment to witness to the world in which we live? That's what Jesus is asking us to think through this morning as we hear these two stories about the pearl, about the treasure. We are challenged to seek out everything that keeps us from being loyal servants of Jesus Christ. Now, I got to say that I know that I've pursued the goals of God's kingdom in my life not as good and strong as I ought to. And that brings me to a stronger realization just what that priceless treasure of God's love is for me in Jesus Christ. The amazing love of God, the grace of God in the gospel, offers to each of us again and again, a reconciliation with the Heavenly Father, and tells us that the newness that comes to us in Christ is God's free gift. No charge, no expectation other than commitment to serving him. We hear Paul rejoicing in the love of God in Romans chapter 8, that portion of the letter that is our epistle for today. God said, there is nothing, through St. Paul, there is nothing in all of creation that'll ever be able to separate us from the love of God, which is ours in Christ Jesus. If we have nothing else in this world, if we have nothing else and only this, then we are among the richest people. We are the richest people of the world. So God says to you and me, hear these stories. Do you understand them? Do you recognize the commitment that God calls for you? Total commitment, because he gives himself through his Son totally. The Son who goes to the cross on Calvary, who is buried in that tomb, but who rises again 3 days later and says, I am risen, and because I am risen, you too will live again. If you have only this gift of God, then you are the richest person in the world. In the holy name of Jesus, amen.